back at camp, the pages we turn, and we're thankful for what we learn. We rightly divide this truth that we'll show, and we'll know which way to go.
Good afternoon, this is Pastor Craig, and thank you for sticking around or for tuning in. This is Study His Word, and it's a pleasure to spend the final hour of my day here at the radio station with you. Today I wanted to wrap up the story of Joseph. If any of you heard it, it was 2 weeks ago. I did the story of Joseph. Joseph, as you remember, was given a multicolored coat from his father because Joseph was his favorite son. And we read on, we read where Joseph enjoyed the attention he got from his father, and he had dreams, and he told the dreams to his brothers, and basically he told his brothers that they would be bowing down to him. And so his brothers didn't really like this, and they tried to get rid of him. They were going to kill him, but instead they ended up selling him into slavery. And then Joseph goes through a period of life where he's on an uphill climb, and good things are happening to him, and he's getting to be successful. And then he gets falsely accused, and he gets thrown in jail. And he tells the people who get out of the jail to remember him, and they forget about him. So he went through some ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Where we left off is Joseph was the governor of all of Egypt, and he was in charge just under the Pharaoh, and he was in charge of they had 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. He was in charge of all of their resources during that time, in which Egypt made large storehouses of their goods. And so when the famine came, he was in charge of distributing the food out to the people. Well, his brothers left their land and came to Egypt to get the food. So we left off where they first come in. Now, what the brothers do not realize is this is Joseph. As a matter of fact, they've long forgotten Joseph. It's been many years. They've long forgotten him as far as wondering where he might be or what he might be doing. So they come to get some food. So we'll pick up in chapter 42 of Genesis in verse 8. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of this land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's son. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." But Joseph said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." So that was a reference to Benjamin, who was the one that was still with the father, and one is no more. That was a reference to Joseph. But Joseph said to them, "It is as I spoke to you, saying, 'You are spies.' In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, Let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. So here is, now his brothers are feeling the conviction of what they did to Joseph. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. As he turned himself away from them and wept, then he returned to them again and talked to them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of the sack. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father, one who is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave me one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. Because Joseph was keeping Simeon so that they would come back. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. So Jacob is not desiring that they take the brother back to Joseph, because he's afraid that something is going to happen. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Jacob said, why did you deal so wrongly with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Then Judah said to Jacob his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned the second time. And their father Israel said to them, If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. I am bereaved. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, It is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us to take us slaves with our donkey. So see, the brothers are really afraid now because they have no idea the meaning behind Joseph putting the money in the sacks. And so they're afraid that they're being set up. When they drew near the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, so we have brought it back in our hand. And we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father's father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon down to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand and into the house, and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, Serve the bread. So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also, put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, and they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city and were not far off, Joseph said to his steward, Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these words. And they said, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouths of our sack. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slave. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquities of your servant. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, O Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to the Lord, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face until our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before his father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that will come down upon my father? So basically, he is pleading for Benjamin, because if they were to return without Benjamin, which is the youngest son of Jacob, it would be the death of Jacob. And you know, his brother is explaining here that, look, I gave our dad my word that I would bring Benjamin back, and that was based on your word, and there's no way I can return without Benjamin. The mother of Benjamin was also the mother of Joseph. She had two sons, and his father believes that Joseph is dead. So the only son he has left from that mother is Benjamin. So that's why his brother is pleading so hard for the return of Benjamin. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. I'm sure they were, because for years they had assumed that Joseph was dead. The last thing that they would imagine that Joseph would be in such a place of prominence in Egypt. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have.'" So basically, Joseph is telling his sons, go and bring dad, and I will give you this land so that you can be nearby. "Therefore, I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years left of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. After that, his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brothers have come." So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Say to your brothers, 'Do this, load your animals and depart, go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land.' Now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours." Then the sons of Israel, that's Jacob, did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things: 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, "See that you do not become troubled along the way." Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. And why would he? But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then he said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." So Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes." Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and the little ones and their wives in the carts. And so it goes on here, and he talks about the families of Jacob and the sons and their sons and their families. And I'm not going to bore you with all the names, but it just gives this long list of the families that were going. All the persons who went from Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. All right. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Jacob. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Jacob said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all they have.' So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' that you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is abomination to Egyptians.'" So Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all their possessions have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now for, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you are known any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." So this continues on here. And it has to do with, you know, how they survived through the famine and that, and how Pharaoh and Joseph provided for them. So I'll go to chapter 48. "Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, 'Indeed, your father is sick,' and he has took with him his 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, 'Look, your son Joseph is coming with you.' And Israel strengthened himself and sat on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. and said to me, Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. So there's a little bit of conversation there. Let's see. And then Jacob gets to meet his grandsons. And let's see. And we have they go through some poetry and things about relating to each one of the sons' name. I won't bore you with that. And those are where the 12 tribes of Israel come from the sons of Jacob. And so they go through each one and telling about each brother who was what became the 12 tribes. Okay. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up in the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed him. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for 70 days. Now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am dying in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Therefore you shall bury me. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as the house of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's house. Only their little ones, their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Then they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they mourned there with great and very solemn lamentations. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing of Atad, they said, This is a deep mourning of the Egyptians. Therefore its name was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. And so his sons did for him just as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite as property for a burial place. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So see, now that their father has passed away, the brothers are fearful that Joseph is going to repay the evil that they did. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please, forgive the trespass of your servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept, and they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, and he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. So that is basically the story of Joseph. So as you can see, it's a lot more than just the story of the multicolored coat. And, you know, that's the story we all learn as little children. And we all know about Joseph's colorful coat. But we never hear the rest of the story. So I wanted to bring you that, the rest of the story. And so the question becomes now that I've spent two Fridays reading this and talking about it, what was the purpose of this? Why is this story in our Bible? There's actually a lot of things we can learn about this from this. Probably one of the most powerful lessons that we learn is about the sovereignty of God, how God is in control of this earth and what happens on this earth. God had a plan, and his plan was to use Joseph to basically run Pharaoh's house during the famine. And what the plan was is Joseph was going to be mistreated by his brothers. He was going to suffer great evil by his brothers. But God was going to bring Joseph through a process that would also mold Joseph into the kind of person he should be, because don't forget, he was an arrogant young teenager. But God was going to mold him to the point that he would eventually be in a position like that dream that he had, where his brothers would bow down to him. Not because he was smarter or better or had anything on his brothers. That's not the reason they were going to bow down. They were going to bow down to him because he was in a position of authority and he could save their life, so to speak. Come on in. Come on in. You got two tickets, right?
Yes.
All right.
I'm afraid I wouldn't get here in time.
Oh, that's no problem. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Enjoy.
We will.
All right. Thanks. So there, the second to the last tickets just got picked up for the pancake breakfast. So the brothers, they would be turning to Joseph unknowingly, basically to save their lives. When there was the famine for all those years in the land of Canaan, their only hope was buying food from Egypt. And the thing is, every stage that Joseph went through in his life was preparing him for the ultimate destination that God had in mind for him. And going through the ups and the downs, Joseph didn't know how it was going to turn out, but he always was trusting in God that it would turn out for the better of him. And his brothers needed to see that, because they were operating from the standpoint that they had done this evil to Joseph. Then when they were confronted by Joseph, they were in fear for their lives. Joseph showed, great generosity to his brothers. But then when their father passed away, again, the brothers thought Jesus was going to repay them. He was going to get back at them, because that was their mindset. And so they needed to see in God's bigger plan, it was forgiveness. They needed to see Joseph being able to forgive them for the evil that they had done to him. The part that's really kind of says it all. Okay? Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the palace, in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." And he understood it very well. His brothers meant to do evil to him, but God, being a sovereign God and being in control of the total situation, he allowed the evil against Joseph from the brothers because he had a bigger plan. He had a bigger plan where he was going to elevate Joseph to such a position that he would be able to save the lives of multitudes of people. And so, as Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I think one of the lessons that we can learn here is we go through many trials and tribulations in life. And when you're going through a trial or a tribulation, we often can't see beyond that. We often can't see, and you know, many times the bigger picture is not available for us to see. But we can't see beyond our trial or our tribulation. I mean, when Joseph was sitting there in jail, he probably couldn't see beyond that. I mean, he had hope that he would be out of jail someday, but he had no idea what was going to be in store for him when he got out. But he did remain faithful to God. And that's kind of where we are. When we go through trials and tribulations, we don't know what's down the road. We don't know what God's bigger plan is. But when we're faithful in our beliefs, when we're faithful to God, he's working it out for some good. It's going to be, in the long run, a greater good than the trial or tribulation that we're going through. And this is a perfect example that the good that God is going to work out of a situation, while it may be a good thing for us, Joseph being number two man in Egypt, that was good for Joseph. And while we may get out of our trial and tribulation and God may show some good, more than likely it's going to be a much bigger good. You know, yes, he restored their family relationships. He brought that family together, and the wounds of the family relationship were healed. But there was a much, much greater good. The savings of a multitude of people's lives because of the famine. So that's the story of Joseph. Again, it's much more than the story of the multicolored coat. That is just a small part of it. And actually, it's kind of the beginning of the story. But the whole entire story is much more. It's how great God can work. This is a point to ponder. This is how a great God can take evil in this world. He can take evil things that people do to other people, and he can turn it into much good. And at the same time, improve those individuals who are involved in it. So that is the story of Joseph. If you have any questions or any comments, feel free to contact me. You can reach me at, you can send me an email at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. Again, that's studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. Also, too, I do have a website. I post every Wednesday podcast. My podcast, I have some biblical teachings. I have some of the interviews that I have done on this radio station are on my podcast. So there's all kinds of variety there. Currently, right now, I'm doing a 5-part study for Easter, Christ's statements from the cross. Now, I've put the first 2 episodes are already up on there, and the remaining 3 will be the next 3 Wednesdays heading into Easter. So that's something that I currently have on my website. In order to listen to those, you want to go to studyhiswordradio.org. Again, that's studyhiswordradio.org. And there you can find my podcast, the episodes that I have coming up on Easter, and all the previous episodes are available there. So, thank you again. You can contact me if you have questions or comments, and you can go to the website and listen to various things. Now, tomorrow, again, is the Pancake Day at Tri Rivers with Scott and Matt and Carrington. See, I didn't realize they were all 3 going to be there. Scott and Matt and Carrington are the celebrity servers from 11 to 12. That's 11 to 12. I guess Mary Ellen Withrow is also going to be there. So there's be a good time over there. Also, too, the pancake breakfast down at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect from 8 until 11. That benefits Vacation Bible School. Don't forget about the dinosaur drive-through that is at the fairgrounds this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 4. It's $12 a carload, and they've got dinosaurs making sounds, animatronics. So that means these dinosaurs are going to be moving. So I have no idea. I haven't seen it. I imagine they've probably been setting it up during the week, but I haven't seen it or anything. But that sounds interesting. So things going on this weekend, take advantage of them and just have a good time. So that's all I've got today. Let's see. We've got Scott and Matt and Carrington on tonight from 8 until 10. And then next week, it starts all over again with the weekly schedule. So I'll be back next Friday at 11 for What's Happening Marion, and then 12 for the Exchange Club. Be joining Matt and Scott. And then I'll be back at 1 o'clock next Friday for Study His Word. So you folks have a good weekend and a good week.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
He's
never asked anybody that question.
I wouldn't even know. The 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's you bring your enemies close.
That was, had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact.
I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time.